Well, welcome everybody to Mission Sunday. I figured rather than laying on the ground, because that seems to be what everybody is expecting me to do, I preached a sermon I laid on the ground. So, it's good
unique.
Times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of that, we wanted this Mission Sunday to highlight some of our ministry partners, particularly as it relates to college and some high school students here in the city of Orange and the surrounding community. So today, two partners in ministry, two organizations that we partner with in ministry, Crosby Tanucci and Cole from InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and Cole Zierden from Young Life. And so I thought just a little bit of introduction as we get started today. Crosby, if you want to just say a little bit of what you do, what is InterVarsity, and how long you've been doing it, and give us a little sense of who you are.
Yes, of course. So I'm Crosby. I work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. It is a ministry to students and made up of students on colleges and universities across the nation. I have been working with InterVarsity now for 6 years, the first five of which I was primarily at Chapman University just down the road and Santiago Canyon College. And for this past year, I've been primarily working with Cal State Fullerton students while still keeping connections to the Chapman and Santiago College students as well.
And Crosby is one of our global partners that we support here at the church. Cole is also joining us for the first time. Cole, let's give Cole a big welcome, by the way. Cole Zierden. So tell us what you do with Young Life, Cole.
So Young Life, what we do is our mission is to reach the furthest out student. So
I'll tell you what, Cole, why don't you use Crosby? Why don't you go tag team? Just turn that one off.
All right. That's much better. So I personally work at Orange High School, which is just down the road. But we also have a mission at Chapman University that does college ministry. So a lot of the leaders that I lead with at Orange High are in college at Chapman, as well as surrounding colleges. So I get to get a pretty good view of what it looks like for those college students and what they're going through, as well as a good idea about all the high school students that we serve. So it's a worldwide organization, Young Life is, but it's been very cool being able to serve the past 3 years in Orange at the high school.
And you are a Chapman grad?
Yes. So I graduated from Chapman in 2025 and have lived in Orange for the past 4 years. I just moved. All my current roommates just graduated this past month. So I've been able to hang around and continue being in Orange and being involved in both Orange and Chapman communities, which has been super awesome.
Crosby, are you a Panther too? Are you a Orange?
I am a Panther. 2020 grad.
Okay.
So pause up.
So the Lord is at work. Pause up. Yeah. All right. Wasn't expecting that, but that's okay.
I can lay on the floor if you want to.
I think they would love it. So that's great. So what I was hoping just with this is, you know, not everybody in here can work with college students, right? Like the window kind of shuts over a while. Everybody can open their houses. Everybody can be hospitable. What does a year of ministry look like for you guys? Like, when does it start? What are like key programs, key milestones in a year in college ministry? And what does that look like? So why don't we start with Cole first, and then we'll come back to Crosby.
So for college and high school, it's a little different. For college, during like orientation week, that's a huge week for them and their team. Because all the new freshmen are coming in, everyone's looking for a place to belong. That's a huge thing that college students are looking for. It's their first time being away from home. So first week, super big, lots of events. As the year goes on, they have a fall camp that they go, it depends on the year. They have some kind of weekend trip. That's another big milestone. And then summertime, there are different camps all around the U.S. that we send students to both high school and college. College students can go and volunteer for about a month there. So recruiting people for those, it's called summer staff. That's also a big thing for the summertime for the students, because a lot of the college students go back home, so it's a little less face-to-face over the summer.
For us, it's very similar. Beginning of the year is new student outreach. So we're pounding the pavement. We're trying to connect with as many new students as we can, because students are really open to trying new things within the first 6 weeks of their college career. And we hope that one of those new things is Jesus that they get to try out. After that, our students, they launch Bible studies. So our ministry is really led by students, which is a unique thing because the students are going to be the best missionaries to their friends on campus and in their classes than someone like me who doesn't get to spend that much shoulder time with them. And so they launch Bible studies weekly. We also have a fall camp. We just got back from our spring camp as well. That's 5 days on Catalina Island where we inductively study the book of Mark and let students experience Jesus for themselves in the scriptures. And all throughout the year, we are focusing on discipling, outreach, and we are focusing on developing student leaders. So that's a big focus of our spring to set us up for that next fall.
I love that you think about what a strategic time, and that first week of school is a strategic time. We're also one of the people that we partner with because Crosby is doing more work over at Cal State Fullerton, Kazmi Mineros. She is talking to us about strategically partnering at the end of the semester for study time and having like a study break here on campus for Chapman students. And so that's, I love that we think about just what are the strategic moments in the life of students. As you guys think about, I mean, we talk a little bit about like Gen Z, all the generational talk. Maybe just talk a little bit about some of the particularities of working with 18 to 24 year olds essentially, and what is life like for an 18 to 24 year old college student these days? What are the things, where are they doing with their free time? What are the things that kind of weigh on them heavy that maybe haven't weighed on everybody in every generation? Like, maybe talk a little bit about that. Go ahead, Crosby. Yeah.
I was going to say Cole's an 18 to 24 year old himself, so maybe he can start us off.
We'll speak authoritatively,
Cole. Some firsthand experience, right. 18, 24 year olds. This is a big time of people's life. A lot of students, myself included, are like, this is our first time asking real questions about like, what is life? What do I want my life to look at? This is our first time away from home, first taste of independence. So kind of just trying to figure out who we are as like an individual, as well as the people you want to spend time with, the people you want to surround yourself with. So I think that's one of the biggest things, especially going into college, is will I find my people? Who are my people? Who am I? And all those like big questions, as well as like about God. Who is God? Do I believe in God? What is this whole thing that could take over your life? You can be so involved in or not know anything about it. So I think that's something that's super big going into college, is that independence and figuring out what, who you are, what you want to do with your life. What are people up to that are my age? That's a good question.
Share as comfortably as you would like.
Right. It's obviously, there's a wide variety of things, especially going like to Chapman. There's a lot of different people. The people that I spend a lot of time with, like the people that I lead Young Life with, they're some of the busiest people I know. They're involved in sports and sororities and music and all the different clubs and activities, which is so wild to me that they also decide to be leaders for high school students. And they make time for this. But like, they are just one of some of the busiest people I know. When they're not doing all these things, they are just spending time with the people that they found, sitting at home, hanging out, enjoying the community they found themselves.
Yeah, to add a couple of things of what I've seen with Gen Z students, this generation is particularly connected to their mental health. I think that is representative of some of the pressures that they experience on a daily, weekly, yearly pace. I think the world that we've handed them and the world that they're creating and shaping, they're experiencing some of the like lack and the disappointment of that. Students today struggle more with anxiety and depression than in the past, and they are in a spot looking for a way out, looking for hope. And at the same time, they are kind of in two buckets in the case of faith. They're either experiencing the increasing secularization of our society and our colleges and our universities, or they are curious about God, and we've seen a lot of that on campus as well. As I was walking on Cal State Fullerton's campus a couple of months ago, there was a guy, and he was just a student. He was 20 years old, and he exemplifies for me what Gen Z students are looking for, because he was holding a cardboard sign that said free mediocre advice. And I went up and talked to him, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? Do you get into good conversations? And he was saying, I think people, we just need to talk. Also, people are looking for something, and I don't have all the answers, but you would be so amazed to see what students come up to me and what they share, the burdens they're holding, and I'm just trying my best to connect with them. And as someone who follows Jesus and loves campus, I'm like, man, if I could get people to come up to me, I've got even better than mediocre advice. Like, we have the gospel of hope, the gospel of truth. So I think it's a really unique place to do ministry, and also a unique time in our world to do it as well.
Yeah, I appreciated what you guys said, and working on a college campus as well, teaching a little bit. The kind of the categories of, like, you fit into like one of five categories, and, you know, that's not true anymore. There are as many categories and like little subgroups, subcultures as you possibly could find. So yeah, that is just, and that splintering just, I think, creates a little bit of like, where do I belong? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you guys think about like Gen Z, I think we've even maybe heard that there's like revival, like strains of revival going on in Gen Z and openness to this. How have you seen that in your own ministries, and what is your temperature and gauge on the campus to an awareness and an openness to the gospel or things of the Spirit? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have seen this in our ministry at both Chapman and at Cal State Fullerton, which is really exciting, and also throughout the Orange County and Los Angeles region as well. I think students, they're not asking the question of, is Christianity true necessarily anymore? I know that was big for previous generations. They're asking the question, is this relevant to my life? Can Jesus help me cope with my mental health? Can faith in general bring me community? And these questions are driving them to be curious in and of themselves. This past year at Cal State Fullerton, there was a student, Sam, who didn't grow up in a Christian household, but in high school, because of some of the things that she was seeing online on Instagram and TikTok, she became curious about what Jesus had to say about her life. And so when she got to college, she connected with our ministry, learned more about Jesus, the gospel, through Bible study, and decided to follow Jesus because of the things that God was doing in her. And this curiosity on her part, it wasn't unique to her necessarily. We've been seeing this of students all along the way, that it seems like the Lord has gone ahead of us, is working in their hearts to call them into curiosity, into openness to the gospel.
Right, I like what you said a lot about like how the Lord led this. I think being able to be on campuses during this time has been super awesome, because we are a resource for these students that are asking these questions, that are looking for something more. Young Life especially, I feel like, as our mission being reaching out, reaching to the furthest kid, the kid that's not going to be in church, I feel like we've seen revival a lot through those students that are first learning about who Jesus is, whether they grew up with parents that weren't religious at all, didn't tell them about Jesus. A lot of the students we get to have relationships with have never heard about Jesus before. So being able to be a part of that journey with them when they hear about who Jesus is, what he did, why he did it, and how it affects them and what that means for their life has been one of the most rewarding things I've been a part of, for sure. Most of our students that are super involved now originally didn't know a single thing about Jesus or their faith. So being able to watch them grow and learn has been super cool. I've also been able to see that a little bit with my own friend group. A lot of my friends don't believe in Jesus or don't have a very strong faith. So there's been a few times that I've been able to go to church with like my actual group of friends outside of Young Life. And that's been a very fun experience, just to be able to see and bring them with to like hear about Jesus and see how, talk to them about what they heard and what they think about all that. So it's been very, very exciting time to be in ministry. Yeah.
I think one thing we talked about a couple weeks ago is in the Gospel of Luke, it talked about the supporters of Jesus. They might not have been able to walk into a synagogue and preach the message, but they could support. And I think, you know, not all of us could be on a college campus or go into a fraternity, you know, Bible study or all of that, but we all can do something related to college students. You guys obviously get to have a lot more hands-on with college students, but for those of us who maybe live in Orange and have maybe access to conversations with college students or have college students in our families, like what kind of things can we be doing and saying that might be helpful things in that seed planting and in what God is doing in the lives of college students?
Loving them, I feel like, is huge. There's so much, so many times that these students, whether they know Jesus or not, see people that claim to be following Jesus, and they don't treat these students like Jesus would. That puts a bad taste in their mouth. That gives them a bad idea of who Jesus is, who people that follow Jesus are. So I think just being a good person to these students, listening to them, caring for them, not jumping to judgment, just being like a good person to these students, being kind, being slow to anger, caring for these students, but also being willing to teach them about Jesus, being willing to go into the Bible with them if that's something they're interested in. But yeah, I think a lot of students have a wrong idea of who Jesus is, who people that follow Jesus are. So trying to correct that image in their head, I think, would be huge.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of access to college students, just in the nature of who we live around. There are college students living in and around Orange, living in and around Fullerton and the surrounding areas. And being good neighbors, as Jesus invites us to do, surprise, is a great way to start building those relationships along the way. I'm sure getting to know them goes a long way, bringing cookies or even thinking about those strategic times in their schedule and in their calendar where you can love on them a little bit more, like finals time, both in the fall, in the spring, move out, move in. I think these are really pivotal times where you can start to reach out and build those relationships along the way. And the other thing is praying and interceding. The work that happens on campus, it doesn't happen unless it is first fueled by the prayers of God's people. I think even in this past year, I have come to know more and more that the Holy Spirit is doing something on campuses, and that is far beyond my individual prayers. It has felt in different ways in this season, particularly as I've been ministering to fraternity and sorority students on campus, that God has opened doors and is answering prayers of generations of people who've been praying for these students. And so as you are walking by Chapman or walking by Cal State Fullerton or see them in Trader Joe's, consider praying for them. Not necessarily saying, hey, can I pray for you? But in your heart, come alongside the things that the Lord is doing in their lives by lifting them up in prayer.
Yeah, I think also we spend time down in the circle, right? Yeah. And when you're down the circle, you see a Chapman student, like, hey, what's your name? You go to Chapman, you know, and hey, this is my name, and learn their name. Listen to them, ask them. I think just hearing someone's story is one of those things, just listening. Where are you from? So I think those are all great things for us to do. I also like the idea of strategic cookies. That sounds good as well. Never underestimate a strategic cookie. That's good. Maybe just one story of life transformation that you guys have seen in your ministries where the gospel, someone has heard the gospel, had an encounter with Jesus, and it just set them on a whole new path.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So this is about Judas. Judas was a student that I met 3 years ago about when I was a volunteer leader for Young Life. He's one of the very first students I met. He had just started coming to Young Life with some of his friends. He had a pretty tough upbringing. His dad was not very present at all, and just some hurt with that. After about a year of pouring into him and trying to like build those relationships, he finally agreed to come to summer camp with us this past year. At camp, one of the speakers was talking about his story about how he had an absent father and what that looked like in his life and how he was able to accept Jesus as his father, and what the following 30 or 40 years of his life looked like after he was able to accept Jesus into his life. Judas is this like pretty tough feeling looking guy. I would never expect that he would cry or show emotion in front of anyone. But here he is in this club room singing and dancing and like feeling emotions and like tears in his eyes, listening to this guy talk about his dad. After that experience, we've had a lot of good conversations about Judas's life and his family, and how Jesus is there and how Jesus loves him. Judas previously didn't know Jesus at all, but after that week at camp, he's now one of the most involved students in Young Life at the college. So I was lucky enough to have him as a high schooler for a couple years, and now I'm so glad I can continue that relationship with him now that he's out of high school and still involved in Chapman Young Life. So he's been one of the coolest stories to see him as someone that didn't know anything about Jesus, had a lot of hurt, and then able to find Jesus and heal from that a little bit has been super cool. Something for him to lean on.
Yeah. I'll tell a story about a Chapman student named Mitchell. And so Mitchell, he just graduated from Chapman, but he wasn't necessarily interested in following Jesus in college. Not until his junior year, when he went through a really bad breakup. And he was in a tough place, and he needed a little bit of hope. He needed community on campus. And so he reached out to us, actually, through our Instagram. He filled out, we have a little, like, Google form where people can submit prayer requests. And in the 5 years that has been up on our Instagram, there's only been one person who's ever filled that out. And it's Mitchell. So getting his prayer request, I reached out to him and had a conversation with him just about where he's at and how Jesus might be able to fill some of the space in his life. And from that, he started joining the fellowship, going to Bible studies, getting to know who God was, and making those decisions to follow him as a college student. That spring, he went through our discipleship program, which teaches some of the fundamental values of faith, like silence and solitude, connecting with Jesus and intimacy, learning how to share the gospel with your peers. And as he took the steps to try on some of those practices and be intentional about having spiritual conversation with his friends, his faith just like lit up. It was so fun to see that this quiet guy who I met in November was coming to the end of the spring semester, and he was like, I love this. I want to join the leadership team to be able to lead a Bible study so that my peers might come to know who Jesus is. And so his senior year, this whole year, he's been leading a study for men on campus, which, if you don't know, Chapman's gender split is about 80-20, so 80% female, 20% male. And so in the ministry there, we have found that prioritizing a space for men to connect and then also to be discipled, it actually has an inordinate impact on our fellowship and our campus. And so he discipled men throughout that year. And as he was graduating, it was cool to see that some of the leaders for next year, four of them are men who are from his Bible study. So what Jesus has done in him now has this ripple effect and is multiplying in four ways at least in this next year as students come back on campus.
Man, that is such a great story. When God gets hold of somebody's heart and moves them, it is just something to watch. And you guys get a front row seat.
It's the best.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. And to tell these stories reminds us that God is at work in our community and that we're just 2 miles away from a place where God's Spirit is at work and that we can just go down to the circle and meet some of these people and make them cookies or do whatever. Like, it's so great to know that field is so ripe for harvest. As you guys think back on this last year, one of the questions I kind of sent out to you guys is, has there been a passage of scripture that's been something that you've either hung on to or has been kind of impactful to you over, or your ministry over the course of this last year?
Yeah, I'll jump in on that one because you quoted a little bit of it. The scripture that I've really been captured by has been Matthew 9, 35 through 38, where Jesus, he sees a crowd and the text says that he has compassion on them. And he tells his disciples that the field is ripe for the harvest, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send out his laborers. And when I step onto campus, I often see a crowd of people, and rarely is my first feeling compassion. I'm like, man, all these people are in my way, or I got to get someplace, all those things. And so personally, this text has been challenging, just like it might be for us when we go to Costco or whenever we see a crowd of people. But it's challenging for me and my students to be able to align our heart with Jesus's, that when you see the students milling about down Titan Walk in Cal State Fullerton or in the Piazza, that Jesus has compassion on them, he sees the spiritual potential in their lives, and are you going to align your heart with that? I think for our students, we're trying to have them switch their perspective. They don't just go to Chapman, they don't just go to Cal State Fullerton, they're sent there by a God who loves their peers and their classmates, and he has good things for them. One thing that has also been captivating us with this passage is Jesus' invitation to pray that more laborers might be sent out. And then right after that, at the start of the 10th chapter in Matthew, the disciples actually become the answer to their own prayer, and Jesus sends them out two by two into the surrounding countryside. And so our students, when we align our heart with God's heart, and when we ask the Lord to send people into his harvest field, we actually get to participate in that work too. And so we're looking forward to this next fall at Cal State Fullerton. We have 18 student leaders who have answered that call to go out into the harvest field and participate in the thing that God's doing.
You're pumping me up, Crosby. Yeah. It's good stuff. Go ahead, Cole.
For me, I would say 1 Peter 5:7. This is something that I had in my home back in Minnesota, something that was hanging on the wall. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. This is something that I've come back to a lot over the past year, and especially in ministry. Just because there's only so much we can do as a leadership team. We can plan events, we can invite students to events, but at the end of the day, they might not show up. We can tell them about Jesus, we can do all these things, but same thing. It's not up to us at the end of the day. So just trying to not take the burden of, like, oh, I need all these kids to learn about Jesus. I need all these kids to know Jesus and pray and read their Bible and all these things. There's only so much I can do just to be there as a resource. And that's something I try to remind myself. That's a verse I go back to. Because at the end of the day, I can only do so much. I can only continue showing up for these students. But that choice ultimately is not up to me at all. So being able to like let go of that and whatever happens, happens. Whether that doesn't happen at all while I'm around, maybe they'll accept Jesus 10 years down the road and look back and be like, oh, what Cole was talking about, like that makes sense now. Maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, maybe it'll be this next week. None of that's up to me. So just being able to like let go of that and whatever happens ends up happening.
I love that. That's great. I always loved Young Life. Always just felt like Young Life would go anywhere, talk to anybody. And there's just a lot of, you know, you never know how that interaction is going to go or who's going to show up. That's like the story of youth ministry too. Like, okay, who's going to show up and will they even listen? Yeah, it's great. So yeah, as we think about this summer and moving into the fall, how can we be praying for you guys in your ministries?
For us, so currently we have about, or we had about 5 people on staff. 4 of us are stepping off, unfortunately, about the same time. Hopefully one will end up staying. He applied for a more full-time job in Young Life. So it'll just be a big transition period. We are hiring a few more people on staff, but just pray for that transition to go well. that our leaders stick around, that the students keep coming even though it might look a little different. Just that goes smoothly, that kids continue showing up, kids continue hearing about Jesus.
For us, you can be praying for the student leaders. At both Chapman and Cal State Fullerton, we had a number of student leaders graduate as seniors, and we are grateful that freshmen have come and like filled their spot, yet they're green, they're enthusiastic beginners, so pray that God would prepare them this summer and that this would be a space and a time for spiritual growth rather than maybe some forgetting of who God is and the things that he had done in the year. So you could pray for that. You could also be praying for, it just escaped my mind. It's a bummer. I know. It does, but that's okay.
Well, hey, it'll come back to Crosby. Let's give these two guys a big hand for being up here. And for the work that they do. You know, I think what we want to do is we want to just spend a minute, just some time in focused prayer for Chapman, for Cal State Fullerton, for Rancho Santiago College. I think even as they are sharing, like as you're sitting there, probably some college students came to mind for you. And so what I want to do is I just want to go into a time of prayer. Let's just take a time, let's bow our heads, and let's just spend some time in prayer. And let's just start with... if there was a student who came to mind for you as you were listening to Crosby and Cole tell their stories about ministry, just lift that student to the Lord right now, just to yourself. Just on their behalf, would you invite the Holy Spirit to do a work in their life? And now let's just pray for Chapman University, and let's pray that God's Holy Spirit would descend on that campus. Pray for the dorms and the housing around where students are living, that there would be a rich presence of God's love and spirit in those neighborhoods. Let's also pray for Rancho Santiago College, a commuter campus, a place where people are maybe 2 years and then off to the next thing. Pray for the students there at Rancho Santiago College. And also for where Crosby is at Cal State Fullerton, let's pray for that campus, also a commuter school, but with dorms. Let's just pray and ask for God's Holy Spirit to come down in a powerful way on that campus. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we invite you not only onto those campuses, but into this room and into our hearts to do the work that you need to do on us as well. We lift up all the high schools here in Orange. We know that the end of the school year is coming, graduation, a lot of walking that's happening this Wednesday, the end of the school year. We just pray for all those graduating seniors, Father. We lift them up. We lift them to you. We pray that you would have your way in their lives, that you would open them up to what you are doing in this world, that there would be a chance for you to come and just have an encounter with them, that they would know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom you sent. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.